time here. We're still working on opponents, witnesses, and the next card that I have is Mr. Stephen Fish. Would you like to come up and take 5 minutes to address the commission, please?
Stephen Fish, 100 Newby Lane. Good evening, everybody, again. One of my biggest concerns is that this is my property right here. And according to the developer, they have, you can see the wide area of the road here starts at their property. And this little narrow area is now, they said they've gotten a variance approved to 40 feet instead of 50 feet, which just in this valley alone right here, I don't know where they're gonna get it, because there's a power pole, there's house lines, there's banks. I object to the variance in a lot of ways, and one of the biggest reasons, this is going to be a big bottleneck right here at the top turn. Granted, you're on a hill, you have to make a sharp right. My trash can needs to go down the hill to here, so you know I'm going to be walking that with my trash can with traffic, so I think it's a hazard in that area also. So I object to the variance if they got it. I'd like to have that as an issue we can address. The loop issue, I think, is a big issue, because I think it's right they should have a loop. Unfortunately, that'll impact the people on this side. But now, not only do we have one-way traffic in every day, but we have both ways in and out traveling, heading this way to a bottleneck of a narrower road and a hard left turn and a steep downgrade. In the wintertime, like Dan was saying, many residents park down on Fruitdale and hike the hill. I have four-wheel drive. I got stuck and slid off the road on the canyon one time, right at the bridge. And then if I didn't get a good running start, I didn't make it to the top of the hill. And if I stopped to make a right turn, I wouldn't make it. One of Dan's friends slid off the road, went into the ditch here. So that's another big issue we have. The water issue I'm very concerned about. They have a 30 GPM well, but like we say, the replenish rate, I know that my well is 7 GPM. If I run it for a long time, it sputters. It'll spit and I'll get bubbles. I'll get a little bit of dirty water now and then. So that's a big concern to me. The other issue, the canal bridge also here, the developers didn't address. This little bridge, which we had mentioned earlier, is I think 10 feet wide, eroding, and a bottleneck, a blind spot. I mean, there's been many skids on that little steep over the canal, and then it drops. That's a big concern that would need to be addressed. There's not a proper turning radius at the top of Newby and Canyon. I think the law states 40-foot radius. There's nowhere close. I mean, it's a tight turn. I was a little confused on the deer habitat. It said they have to be one residence per 40 acres. If I'm correct, this is 35 acres, if that's right, I think. And there's, how does seven dwellings, there's seven dwellings per 35 acres. So that's a point that I need to be clarified on the deer habitat. It didn't make sense to me. They said there's no large trees that are gonna be cut down on the property. Right here, next to the road, within probably 5 feet of the existing 10-foot road, there's a giant, very large pine tree that's not going to make it. And I think there's two more trees up this side that are in the way. And then all the way across the back here, there's a lot of manzanitas, older manzanitas down here, and one very large manzanita that sits right here. So there's some tree issues I have. And the other thing they were talking about was the canal drainage, and they'll assess a drainage fee on the properties. Are they planning on imposing that just in that subdivision, or is that going to impact the surrounding residents who are on this road and on this development? The fire issue is huge to me. A dead end road with a hammerhead, I see as a problem. I see a fire truck not being able to make this turn unless, of course, they get some of my property. And the crossing the canal road, I see as an issue. If I remember right, it's every 400 feet there's supposed to be a turnaround for the ODF fire department. Sounds like I'm running out of time, but lastly, I think I mentioned this slightly, but pedestrian traffic on this road, especially where it's narrow and on the hill, is going to be dangerous. I have kids. I have a lot of kids that come over to my house, usually on Saturday, and spend a lot of time there, and that scares me as far as the traffic and the pedestrians. So, okay. Does anybody have questions
for me? Yes, any members of the Planning Commission have questions for Mr. Fish? Okay, thank you for your testimony.
Oh, and I wanted to request an extension, too. I don't know if I said
that. Yeah, that has been noted, and we'll be talking about that at the end of the
Thank you. I didn't get notice either. Just for the record, too. I didn't get notice, and I'm the guy, Dan and I are the most impacted, so I was an important one.
Okay, I have Mr. Dan Carter on a card here. Please come forward and state your name and address, please.
Don Carter, 511 Canyon Drive. The issues that I would like to take up, I own the property catty-corner in behind this subdivision, is number one, it clearly states on Rural Road Limited Resident that you must have 50 foot of right-of-way. Okay. They're asking for a variance, and I don't agree with their variance because it's going to affect fire safety. Okay. The other issue I have is they are ending their development before the canal. You're going to go to a 10-foot wide street that goes over a canal, and we have Canyon Drive, which is blind, the other Canyon Drive coming in, and they're not going to update the whole street. They're stopping on this right there on that side of the canal. So there's nothing had been approached about the intersection, the safety line of sight, which is required, which is not there, okay? So those are my issues. The other issue is on fire, because I'm very concerned about fire. I own the 58 acres above them. And I know the requirements that I had to go through with the county. I had to build a new bridge over that canal, which is 28 feet wide, prefab concrete. Had to have it engineered to qualify for me to develop my property. I also had to do fire turnouts, which is required by the ODF. And the ODF also, because we're all under the ODF fire protection. We're in the county. So we have to meet their fire requirements, okay? They're doing none of that. Their requirements for their turnouts is every 400 feet, 50 feet long, 20 foot in width. They're already trying to shrink the road to not meet the standards, and they're not approaching the fire safety issue in this plan. Okay. So those things have not been approached. And the other thing I want to approach is because I so happen to be in the drilling business. Different type of drilling, but I went to some of the same schools that well drillers go to. In tax lot 200, which is the section that is in, In tax 200, out of 10 wells, you only have three wells that are greater than 5 gallons a minute. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wells that are dry. Okay. When you start drilling into fractures and stuff, it's not like an aquifer. An aquifer is an underground lake. They start drilling in the fractures, they could severely change the water resources of those other wells downstream. And I would like this to be a record so you guys can review it. So, in summary, I'm against them changing our county codes. I don't think anybody in the area, they haven't, this project has been on the board and has failed because they can't get access off Newby. You got a dead end street, you don't have the radius of turn, and they're not attacking the issue over the canal or the site issue. That's all I have to say.
Okay, any questions? Oh, you may give your to the secretary. Yeah,
anybody have any questions?
Mr. Carter?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carter.
You're welcome.
Next, I have Mr. John Schaefer. Is that correct? Yes.
I'm John Schaefer, and I live. My wife and I live at 229 Canyon Drive in this area here. And it's, to answer you, you were, Mr. Wright was asking about the drive up over the canal, and how hard it is to get up over there when it snows. We moved in 10 years ago, and in 06, we had a real hard freeze with snow on top of it, and I couldn't get up Canyon Drive, let alone over the canal. So every day I would put my ski poles in the truck and park halfway up Canyon Drive. The hump going over Canyon Drive, or going over the canal, is so steep that when we moved in, we came in with a very large moving truck. They're low slung, couldn't make it. It would drag. So we had to park halfway down Canyon Drive, had to hire another truck, back up, switch everything, and drive up. There's just not the room. Also, the water runoff. Tom was saying that there was a couple of times that canal got so full that we were afraid that it was going to overflow and spill right down into his property, which is right down here. It was just backing up. It was going to come across this area and flow right across. There's a lot of groundwater when it rains heavily that comes down through here and goes between Mr. Fish's property and my property. It runs right down through here, and my drain in under my asphalt drive got stopped up one time, and it was only about a couple of hours before it was going over the driveway, eating away at the both sides of the drive. So it's a dangerous area right through there. A couple of weeks ago, we were coming back with some friends, and it was foggy. And as she was driving, she came up across the canal and couldn't see, and started to make a right turn right into the canal. And if I hadn't been sitting in the front seat and stopped her, we would have ended up in the canal. It was dry, but we would have ended up in there. So the other problem that we're having at our location is you can't find water up there very easily. The situation was Jacoby built our home and tried to locate water for both houses. There was a house that is over here in this location. This house was built first. They couldn't find water in that location. They drilled and found water over on my property, what my property at the time. That house was built first. The water was sitting over here. We share a well, and there's not that much water when it's being pumped from two houses. The water, or the height of the hill back in through here, my house sits real close to the back of the property here, and the top of my house, the hill that comes back in through, just about 110 feet back in through there, is as high as the top of my house. So it is pretty steep, and it's pretty hard to control the water that comes down through there. I had to build a retaining wall. It's actually two different heights. It was one that runs from here almost all the way across, and then step back a little bit further, and I build another retaining wall. And there's a lot of groundwater that will come through and wants to weep through those retaining walls. So I don't see that that it's a safe thing to have that bridge that's across the canal at this point. It is so steep that you'd have to do a lot of grading and filling out into the area down and through here to make it so that it's safe for even a fire truck to get across. Thank God we've never had a fire up there to test that out, but I'll bet you a fire truck would have trouble coming up through there.
Mr. Schaefer, your time is drawing to a close.
Very good. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Schaefer? Mr. Wright.
Mr. Schaefer, what
yes.
size is the culvert under your driveway for your acid, your cement slab?
The diameter of the culvert, it's about a 10-inch. Anybody else?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schiff.
Here.
I have Judy Aaron. I said that, pronounced that right.
Good evening and Happy New Year.
Name and address, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Judy Aaron's of 200 Smoky Lane, Grants Pass, Oregon. From what I understand, living in this community for 3 years, you folks are all appointed, if I understand that correctly. Okay, fine. I want to make sure I'm on the right page with everybody. And what I'd like you to do, and what I, if I were sitting up there, I'm not, but if I were, I heard some very propelling testimonies this evening. I live on Smoking Lane. So I'm not impacted as much. My neighbor, Mr. Murphy, was concerned about that. We might just have an emergency exit. So we're not impacted that much. But you know how I'm impacted is because I love Grants Pass. I love Josephine County. And by gosh, I love my neighbors. I don't know these folks tonight, but they seem so compassionate what they're talking about. And I feel like with your appointed positions, the good news and the bad news is you can do some great things for the neighbors and citizens there here, because you have a lot of power up there. You really do. And we have our developers here, and I think they're nice guys. Everybody's trying to, you know, we want to bring money into this community, and you know what? It probably would be bring some more tax money in there, and that's a good thing. But it's not a good thing when it's impacting your neighbors. And what if I were sitting in any of your shoes, I would like to put my feet in their home. I would literally, like to say, if I was living there, would I be coming up and talking to them if they were the on this board and saying, how would that impact me? You heard tonight a lot of testimonies how they're being impacted. You heard about some of the safety features up in that corner where it, I can understand some of them saying it's 40 feet instead of 50 feet as far as the that area up there. And people say they have their kids. Picture you living up on that corner and it's your kids. If you have kids or teenagers or 7 or 8 year olds. It's really good. You can work with your head and your intellect, and I think you all look like you're very smart people. But we never eliminate and detach our heart, because these people have said some really, really compounding, compelling things here this evening. They took the time to come here because they know you can change their lives. You really can. And when I was hearing things like the safety issue, that seems like an important thing. Financially, they were talking about their wells. Just pretend like that was your well. And you're on limited finances, and with everything going on at the national and federal level, how much more are they going to be affected financially? Who has to give up braces for their kids, really? Seriously. Who has to give up braces for their kids or that guitar lesson they've been wanting? Because now we have some more houses up there, not really sure about the well situation, and maybe, just maybe, they're going to have to dig another well or dig deeper. There goes their kids' piano lessons that they had a dream. Both of them, both of them had an idea what they wanted to do for the talents of their kids. So I would give that a lot of thought tonight. And one thing we could do, if it's not an emergency, I hear a lot of things in the county since I've been living here for a while, everything's an emergency. I don't think this is emergency, and we have people who didn't even get their notices. That's not a little thing, folks. You should take that quite seriously. I don't know what happened with the logistics here, but somebody didn't get their notice so they would have time to study up on that. So if there's no reason you can table it, if the sky's not going to fall, it might mean the developers will have to come back down, but sometimes these companies, they have pretty cushy expense accounts. So I'm not sure they do, but I'm just saying sometimes they do. Just sometimes they do. So I would just recommend that maybe you really take to heart, you put yourself in your shoes. In fact, that's what you should be doing all the time on any issue here tonight. Put yourself in their house and see how it you feel. You'd probably be standing up here this evening asking for that compassion from all of you. I'm trying to think of now let me just get to some housekeeping issues. That map is really hard to see, you know, this overhead projector. I don't know how we're really pinching our pennies, but I feel like not only this hearing, but any hearing. I think it's nice, and when people come, because people are squinting, they can't see that, I can't see that, I wear glasses, I'm getting older, but I can't see that well. Or turning down the lights, doing anything that would enhance so people out here would have the same advantage that you folks do up there, whatever that, I think there was some colorful something they were showing on roads.
Are you addressing the standards and criteria
before? I'm just saying a bit of housekeeping regarding the this, and I'm throwing in a suggestion now so that people that are here, maybe they would have a better, they could partake more and see what they're doing so they can get up here and they can articulate what they want to, knowing that they can see that some people have already just, whatever. And other people will come who are maybe just neighbors, they might have an opportunity to see without squinting out there. So anyway, that's all I have to say, but I think you should combine the two, your wonderful hearts, and it's beginning the new year, and you can make good decisions and righteous decisions for your neighbors and do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mrs. Ahrens? Okay, thank you. I have no other cards for any opponents' testimony. Is there anyone else who is in opposition to this request would like to speak? Okay. Seeing none, we will move into the applicant's rebuttal. So the applicant's representative has about 10 minutes to address whatever questions he would like to.
All right. Well, I do appreciate everybody's concerns, especially in the neighborhood, and I think I can address a lot of them. I think there's some confusion, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands what we're proposing up here. So I'll try to be quick here so I can get everything covered. One of the things that we need to clarify on that access piece there is we are going to widen, starting all the way up at the existing widened portion of the road, to a 24-foot wide paved street section. The only difference between the 50 and 40 feet that's being mentioned is we're not going to be putting ditches in, we're going to be putting curb and gutter and storm drain systems as necessary in. So the street standards that we have are the county standards, which is 24 feet of paving. It will be, you know, two fire trucks wide passing each other, and the grade of the hillside will be follow the existing grade, but it will be paved and it will follow the city, the county standards, the maximum 15% grades, and we've shown that in our application. And just to clarify that. Difficult for the audience to see, but that's one of the sheets that's in the application package where we actually have laid out a road system in the development with real survey data. It's actually been surveyed, and we've shown that it does meet all the county standards. It does limit the cuts and fills, and it will be providing a normal size road, normal intersections, normal curvature, nothing substandard that would limit vehicles or fire access or anything to that extent. The irrigation canal, the culvert down there will be widened. I've talked to the irrigation district, and it will be widened, it will be improved, and if it does have scour, which it sounds like it does, I've seen a little bit of that, it will be shored up as part of that widening with, you know, riprap and concrete and whatever we need to do there to meet the irrigation district standards. Storm runoff below the canal, you know, I have heard some, the canals do get full. That is pretty typical in Grants Pass. Again, I've talked to the irrigation district, and they don't have any additional concerns. If we do come up with our calculations that show that there's too much water going in there, then we would do probably a detention pond above it. But that's something that the irrigation district has said that, you know, they would look at as part of the design process. Well limitations, Mr. Galley, you know, he's a professional, has been in this area for a very long time. I think he's addressed those pretty clearly, that the adequate well supplies look like they're available. And that's something that we have to prove too as part of the final plat process, is actually drilling those wells and testing those wells and seeing what the effects are on the neighboring properties. So that's something that we will have to do. Water-wise, there's some neighboring concerns upstream. Several of the neighbors that have mentioned that actually do live kind of either at the same grade or further over from the subdivision. Our water from this development will be following the natural drainage kind of in that direction, so it'll be falling downhill. It will be going into those existing ravines that run through the property right here and right over here. So that's something that, again, will be controlled. It will follow the existing patterns, and it should affect, you know, we're not designing this. It'll actually help the neighboring properties further down the road where we've got these roadways with the curb and gutters, because it's going to allow us to direct that water to a storm system and direct it to the canal, versus right now it sounds like it runs over the top of the roads when the ditches get full. You know, Mr. Fish had concerns about trash location, and this will actually become a county road, a county maintained road all the way up, so nothing will have to be run down. I know right now it looks like a driveway, but in the end it will be a two-lane roadway that will be function as a roadway, and trash collection will also go up that way. The Deer Winter Range, it sounds like there was a question on that, and that is a standard. It's one house per 40 acres in the entire Deer Winter Range in that area. So when we look at how many houses are up there in that winter range, it's not so much on a per lot basis, it's in the area. So that's the standards that we've checked and that we meet. Pedestrian traffic wise, there's concerns of pedestrians. Right now we've got a, you know, 8 to 10 foot wide gravel type thing. Again, we're gonna pave it 24 feet wide. It's gonna have a narrow shoulder on the edge, and it'll be a much better road than is there today. There was some concern from Mr. Fish about getting noticed. It does sound like his neighbors were noticed. I'm not sure if he's an owner or a renter, you know, I'd hate to see a continuance tonight over it appears one notice that may have not gone through. So I'd ask that we talk about it further tonight. Again, we're not shrinking the road. It's going to get wider. Mr. Schaefer had a concern about the canal and potentially sliding into the canal. Something that we would normally do in a widening project is also put in guardrail on each side of that canal. So that would help prevent that, and we'd actually pull that off the canal crossing to help with that concern. And I believe that covers everything, the questions that were asked. But with that, you know, I feel we do have a good project here. We've done a lot of research into this. There was a lot of research done previously with the previous development as well, the previous application that was approved. And we've kind of furthered that to prove more without a doubt that we can meet the carrying capacity of this development. So.
Brett, you have a question, Mr.
Earl? Yeah, some of the concerns that were brought up is you're gonna, I didn't see this and I didn't really see it in the packet either, extend the road all the way out. All I saw was what you're showing on the map was extending it short of the canal.
If you look on sheet 1.0, I can try to put it up here again, which is the 11 by 17s in your packet.
Yeah, if I miss that, then that's fine. I have no problem.
Okay.
Catch it.
Yeah, and there's, and if you look there, we left the existing paved driveway, just for clarification purposes, white and shaded in around it where we're going to widen it. So we will extend it all the way back to that wider road area. The slope on that road heading up is 15%, and that's what it'll be when it's done. It actually matches the existing grade.
Okay.
Which is the county's standard maximum slope.
Yeah, well, I was concerned if you're saying if you had about 3% if you couldn't drive up, and there's a lot of concern.
Sure.
One, you're not seeing any sun, period. And two, what are you driving at 3%? 15%, understandably, mm-hmm. You're going to have an issue trying to drive up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the developer is actually responsible for that. So we're going to widen the existing culvert. We're going to put in guardrail on each side of it, and it'll be widened to that 24 feet wide, plus probably a little bit more.
Okay, great. Somebody mentioned there's not a proper turning radius at the top of Newby and Canyon, that the law requires 40 feet. So when you're doing that, I assume that you have taken that into account?
Yes, that's this intersection shown up on the screen. Right here, and it's a standard intersection, standard county radius is, yeah, and I know a lot of, you know, it's when you look at these bigger developments, it is hard to see, for especially people in the crowd, that everything looks very small on the big picture, but it's actually all adequate widths for county standards and roadway standards. Correct. We talked to the fire department a long time ago on this. Public Works is the other person responsible for the roadways, and we have got that approved through Public Works.
And, you know, I think that you pretty much, as far as I can see, addressed all the issues that have been raised, except for one that I don't know if you will have the answer to this, and that is, will the grants pass irrigation district drainage fee apply only to the new subdivision, or will that have, you know, federal?
Only to the new subdivision. Okay. It's something, like I said, it's something they're now imposing to help offset the cost of, especially in the city, a lot of water drains to their canals. So they're going to do that with all new developments only.
I think that you pretty much addressed all the issues that I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Edner.
Yeah, there was a couple folks that commented on the line of sight passage over the culvert.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be, there going to be fill put in to correct that, or is it going to still go over?
Right now it continuously slopes down, so we're going to widen the road, which I think the line of sight has to do more with the curve that's there than the vertical curve that's there. So widening the roadway to, you know, from 10 feet basically to 24 feet is going to help with that, because you'll be able to see further around the corner as you come around. And it does meet all the county standards right now for roadway design.
Well, I'm talking the vertical line of sight over the ditch.
That right now, if you look at the drawing up here, again on that sheet, C1.0, the black line represents the grade that we're proposing, and the gray line, which is basically right on top of it, represents what's there today per the survey. So it's vertically, it's more of a straight shot up the hill. It comes off the road at the bottom and ahead of that and curves up the hill, but it doesn't have any curve issues vertically there. Per our roadway standards that we follow.
So there's no grade change?
No, and we're going to be smoothing everything out, you know, to make it nice and sloping
And still would have a line of sight problem?
No, we won't. We won't. The county, that's part of the public works standards, is we have to, you know, as an engineer, we have to prove that all the lines of sights, which we have standards that we have to follow, are met both vertically and horizontally.
Any other questions?
You have a question.
Mr. Wright, go ahead.
You didn't address, the county has a recommendation that staff has a recommendation of the emergency access easement at George and Harris.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I discussed it briefly, but I'll go over it again. So the, go back to that. So as you see on here, again, the reason for changing over to an easement versus right of way, it didn't have anything to do. It didn't really affect anything financially or anything like that. What it came down to is these properties that are zoned RR5 and are currently smaller than 5 acres on the west side of the property, where that easement and or roadway would be extended, are not further developable right now. And there's no reason anyone would ever build a widened roadway right there between basically Georgia Terrace, which is over here, and the property over here. So what we would end up creating is a dead end right of way within the subdivision that would go basically to the property line and stop and basically never be further continued over to Georgia Terrace. So to take that out of the county's hands, so we had another road to maintain, because we would have to dedicate it as a county limited roadway, which is a very narrow 13 foot wide, we went back to just putting the driveway in with an easement, and that would make it the property owner's responsibility. From public works.
Yes, no.
I think, are you addressing public works?
I'm addressing you.
Oh, as the engineer?
Absolutely.
No, it's the county fire standards for driveways are a minimum of 12 feet wide and 14 feet of curbs. I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to public works.
To having an easement.
Yes. I believe that the easement is the best option based on the situation that we have
there,
current conditions. Absolutely, and that's something we sure. And in a rural development, we usually don't. There's not a lot of lights put in. Sometimes at intersections, and they usually are shielded. But I'd be happy to if you make a motion to approve it tonight to add that to the conditions as well.
I will request that condition. I would appreciate
you
going along.
Sure.
Mr. Ender.
The continuation on the emergency access road, is that going to be restricted in any way?
It'll be restricted, yes. It'll just be the only person that can use it really is the emergency access and the lot 3 owner. It would be their driveway.
Is it restricted by gate or?
No, we'll have signage up on the end of it. The fire department usually doesn't want a gate on there. And that's the other reason why we didn't want to extend the right of way to make it look like a road up to the property line.
Can
so
you comment on your fire department? Do you say first closest station's Rural Metro, setting out at on Williams Highway, 3.5 miles away, probably 6-8 minute response time from that location. Actually, your closest station is half the distance, but it's a mutual aid station for the city of Grants Pass.
Correct, and then you have a mutual aid agreement for
and,
fire.
Their desire is loop roads, not only for fire access and so forth, but for evacuation.
Mm-hmm. And again, it would still be an open 12-foot wide roadway for those emergency situations. No, we don't. Other than the point that was addressed by Grace, which was that rounded corner that we couldn't make, which again has no impact on the actual roadway itself. we do accept amends.
Can you talk about that a little further? I was going to ask.
Absolutely. So let me get to a different drawing here, and I'll clarify that for you. So the area in question is what's circled right there. Right now, again, we don't own those properties where we're extending these pieces of road to our development. So typically, if you were doing a brand new subdivision and you were configuring your lots, they would make you round off the corner of the right-of-way to make sure that there was enough curvature there to get your road in there. In our case, we're only 5 feet narrower on the side, you know, five on each side from 50 to 40. We still could fit a standard radius of an intersection there. So this corner right here is the piece that, because we don't own it, we can't round it off. And it was just something that was put into the conditions, I believe, because it was kind of a standard thing.
Still get a standard county radius. And I'm going to ask Public Works to talk just in a second here. But you
sure
feel that you can get a county standard radius without that road dedication?
Yes, we can. And that, and it's shown on our drawings that we submitted with the application.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Comment?
Applicant.
You know, the citizens that live nearby didn't have the advantage of reading through something like this. Maybe they didn't want to. But if they had one of those available to them, it answered a lot of the questions and in great detail, particularly relative to the groundwater and erosion hazards and some of the road improvements and so forth. It was one of the best written reports I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and I know, Grace, I believe the applicants can come in and get copies of that information, the ones that are noticed, correct? Yes, it was a very thorough document, and which is why we updated it and used it for the updated application, for sure.
Okay. That's all. I would like to ask Public Works if they have any comments.
Thank you.
We didn't get a chance to do that earlier. Now's your chance.
Okay.
This is a staff report, basically.
I'm Neil Burgess, civil engineer with Josephine County Public Works. And is what we have, what I'll comment today is the 40-foot right-of-way section. So we have a criteria for modification of specification standards. And that's what we apply to the narrow 40-foot right-of-way, where typically we'd have a 50-foot right-of-way if it was new platted development. But this is off-site existing, already platted 40 feet, so we had to get a road to the site with some kind of standard. So the applicant, Justin Gerlitz with ZCS, requested a variance modification. And is what we did is they surveyed the road and they designed a road section that would fit, so they maximized what they could get out of the 40-foot right-of-way, and is what we ended up with, a 24-foot road section, which is two standard 11-foot lanes with 1 foot shoulders. The basic rural residential standard that we typically apply has 3 foot shoulders, and this we had to cut the shoulders down by 2 feet on each side to fit within the 40-foot right-of-way physically. In terms of the radius corners, that was an extra condition that was a typical that we use on newly platted stuff, so that shouldn't have been in there in the first place. And Justin is right, on the radius of that corner, we can get a 25-foot radius for the actual physical roadway, so it meets our county standard of a 25-foot radius. Let's talk about, the planning code in Article 81 allows for dead-end roads that can continue with future extension of the road extension to end without a turnaround. In our case, we needed a turnaround just to turn around our trucks because that will be a county-maintained road, so we were okay with a hammerhead turnaround. We got to be able to turn around the dump trucks and the county plows, the fire equipment, things like that. In terms of the looped road system, that is a planning department issue under Article 81 for access standards and Article 76 for the fire, and that it mentioned that Public Works was involved in that, and that's, we're not really involved in that aspect of it. That's all I have to say. Any questions?
Any questions from Public Works or Public Works?
How long is Newby Road from the start of the proposed acreage to the end?
I think it's 1,400 feet total. And I don't know, it must be like about 400 off-site, 1,000 on-site. I'd have to ask Justin what the plans are for exact dimensions.
You're okay with the length and having the hammerhead at the end without having to turn out in the middle somewhere, using one of the other driveways and put the second hammerhead in?
From a public works, from a maintenance perspective, we are. We're not here to comment on the...
Yeah, that's true, because it's a fire perspective. But I'm not correct.
So we can get up in there and get two trucks side by side and turn them around at the end, and we can get in there to maintain the road and turn our plows around, and that's the issues we're looking at from the public works perspective.
Okay. There is an opportunity in our...
You done with me?
I'm sorry, I think we are done. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
There is an opportunity in our procedure for opponents to rebuttal. It is only allowed for new issues raised by the applicant in the rebuttal. And in my opinion, I did not hear any new issues raised in the applicant's rebuttal. So it is my decision there. I think we will pass on the opponent's sur rebuttal. So we're now at summation. The applicant or his representative has 5 minutes if you so desire.
Just one point of clarification is that we were just talking with Neil on the emergency turnaround, potentially in the middle of the project. The emergency access road that we will be putting to the west will also have the same dimensions as the hammerhead turnaround at the end of the street. So in effect, it will be a second turnaround area as well.
Have a point to make that first of all, I'd like to apologize to Public Works for attributing the emergency access easement to them. But on that note, because I kind of jumped into this the last week, I misunderstood the extent. And from what Justin has said, the proposed new condition that I said that it would be required from Newby Road to the western boundary of tax lot 200, it really should go all the way, that condition should include that it goes all the way to Georgia Terrace, and that is their intention anyway, but it isn't in the language that I proposed.
Okay. Can you refer me to the number of the condition?
It's a new it would be a new condition.
New condition. Okay.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. Okay, any other questions?
Okay, opponents have a chance to summation, but only for new items. Okay. We've come to the almost the close of the public hearing here then. What we have to decide, I have had, I believe, one or two requests for a continuance. Based on those requests, I have two options. I can continue the hearing and open it up for new testimony as a continued hearing, or I can determine to leave the record open for at least 7 days to receive additional written evidence and testimony only, and set a date for deliberations and final decisions. I would like to ask if the opponents are still standing by your request for continuance. Okay. At the pleasure of the Planning Commission, my determination would be I would prefer to just leave the record open for at least 7 days and continue with a deliberations and final decision at that date. That would give each an opportunity to submit new evidence. It would give time to sort out the issue of non-notification, which I can't believe we just can't do that here tonight. There's just no way we can finally decide that. So I think in fairness to everyone concerned, I think it would be my decision to grant the continuance, leave the record open for 7 days to receive additional written evidence and testimony only, written. And also we will set a date and time and place certain for final deliberations and decisions. So between Ann and I got and Dennis and staff, I got to have some ideas about when we can continue this. Any recommendations to us for when you would prefer to set the date for the continuance?
And do the numbers on that. What's our earliest date? Commissioner Herr would like to be at the meeting too, so we'd already discussed 10th of February is open on his calendar, so if you want to set that as the date certain at 7 p.m., I think we could meet all the noticing requirements and leave the record open.
So we need a motion from the Planning Commission to establish a date certain, preferably February 10th, at location and time.
Are we closing the comment portion but leaving it open for 7 days so they can submit written testimony?
Yes.
We're not saying that there will be additional testimony in 21 days.
That's correct. And what we will do is if this motion passes, then I will close the public hearing and we will. So,
I'd like to make a motion that we continue as requested. February 10th at 7 p.m. in this building.
Where's second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor? So indicate. Okay. The motion for the continuance passes. Therefore, two things will happen. We will continue the record, but the public hearing is now officially closed. And we will meet again on February 10th to consider written testimony and for our deliberations. Well, in the motion. The information I'm reading here says that we have to leave the record open for at least 7 days, so you're right, we could leave it open longer if we choose. So I'm not sure what did the motion say. Did it say 7 days?
No, we made a motion to reconvene on February 10th.
Okay.
7 days sufficient?
I think 7 days is sufficient. Do I hear a motion to that effect?
I will amend my motion for the opponents. Give them a week to have anything you so
is 7 days, and then there is an additional 7 days. So, but it can be longer than 7 days, if requested. So, I guess that's at our judgment. So, what would you like to, what's the pleasure of the Planning Commission? So you amended a motion, and we need a second to the amendment. I'm not.
Yes,
second to the amendment.
I second that.
Okay, Mr. Glenn seconded. All in favor of the amendment, amended motion, so indicate.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now, we can close the public hearing. Okay. Thank you all for your participation. Alrighty. Next item on the agenda is matters from the Planning Commission. Planning Commission members, do you have nothing? Okay. Comments from the public, items not on the agenda.
I think we already had that.
Maybe. Okay. So we'll take a moment for the gallery to clear, and then Mr. Dennis is going to give us a planning director's report.
Well, it's been a longer evening than we expected, so I'll be brief. I made mention there in my earlier remarks that the Planning Commission hasn't met frequently. And I think that's probably going to start changing here soon, because we've got a number of items that have been on hold. So hopefully we can speed things up. One of the items, land use items that we're expecting you're going to have to deal with in the coming months here is an application from Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel. Staff has already reviewed a large volume of material and given comments to the applicant in the pre-application period. We're expecting possibly this week, certainly no later than next week, to get the formal application. And then we have a period of 30 days in which we can review and determine whether or not we have a complete application before we schedule a hearing before the Planning Commission. One of the things that I intend to do for the Planning Commission here is that we hold a workshop, not on the application itself, but on reviewing the code as it relates to the standards that go into reviewing such an application. I think that would be beneficial to you. It would ultimately be beneficial to the applicant and to the public that we all are on the same page about what are the standards we're applying to this. So that when you get into the hearing, you're well-versed in the criteria that you're going to apply to reviewing the application. One of the things that came up earlier in the meeting here was regard to site visits and how that relates to ex parte contact, and that's another thing that we probably would cover in this workshop with regard to the standards that apply to reviewing this particular application. We're probably going to review some of the basic rules of the road with regard to Planning Commission and what's permissible and what's not permissible. I think you're all aware under quasi-judicial hearings that contact with applicants is really prohibited. So we want to make sure that we're giving everybody a fair standard and everybody knows how the hearings are to be conducted. I think that's probably about all I have for you in terms of a land use report at this point. And if you had any questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Let's see, being new at this chairman thing, do we need a motion for adjournment, or do we just adjourn? I will second that, and we, the Planning Commission, is adjourned.
You could just get up
and walk away. Turn your back on everybody.
Packages.
See, Andy, you want these notes. Or South, yeah, whoever.
In case someone comes in and says, we'd like to see it. And I like that. If it was in that.
Yeah, you gave me.
This is one of the best written reports. The geotechnical, the water, fire. Still, you know, it's quite light compared to some of them.